Welcome back to the second half of the Full Spectrum Cannabis Show. We're going to talk death and weed. That's what we just decided the second half, because that gets the viewers. So there you go. Death and weed. People can't get enough of it. Here it comes.
That's all that I've been hearing in the comments, actually. Just so that everybody knows, we're not giving away any insurance this time. We're not giving away any death this time either. Maybe we'll think of something to give away. But I don't know if we even need to give things away, because nobody's commenting in order to win anything yet.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, we're giving out a lot of good information here.
Ooh.
So we're not giving shit else.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have any coupons and no.
Like, you know, we already gave you information.
We already gave you. Right. This is valuable.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, one thing I am just very adamant about is, you know, when a person gives you their time,
right,
that's something that you should take as a gift, because they can't get that time back. Mm-hmm. And what he's given us is information that he may not otherwise have the time to give you, because he really is very busy. And, you know, it's a Friday. He could be doing other shit. He's got a 10-year-old. Okay. So this is extremely valuable. And I really feel like, you know, insurance is at the core of your cannabis business. It is something you have to have. I don't think that you can function without it. You can't open without it. You can't stay in business without it. If shit goes wrong, you gotta have it.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, a lawyer, an accountant, you got to have insurance. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait for him to, you know, we get to the point where he gives his contact information, because I really do encourage people to call him, talk to him. If you're considering opening a cannabis business, give Corey a call. If you already have a business, you know, and you're sitting there thinking, oh shit, you know, I'm remodeling this place, or, you know, I'm building this other little plane as it's flying.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should call him. You should give him a call. I mean, and the staff is great, you know.
Yeah. I just like hanging out with them at events.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
I do too. And I tell you, he blends in. And one question I am
with
dying
what,
to say.
The wallpaper?
You know, I'm just going to say.
On the shirt.
Right? Could you imagine you got a nice, just a smoking paisley shirt on?
You know what?
And you walk up against some wallpaper and you're like, God, shoot.
Here's what I like.
Wallpaper in here.
No matter what race or ethnicity,
yeah,
he blends right. And when I say blend in, you know, he's talking to everybody, and he goes from this person to that person, and it's so smooth to watch him. And guess what? He never changes.
No,
that
right.
This is right. Who he is. Yeah. So he works with all people all across the spectrum, and just really sits down and talks to you, and just really leans in on what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and how can I get you there?
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot. You know, a lot of insurance guys, they're just, okay, what is it that you want? What do you need? Bam, bam, bam. No, Corey's like, okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And you really feel comfortable, you know, handing your business over to them and saying, insure me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, well, being a small business person myself, I understand how hard it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and you're putting your heart and your soul into something, and you bet everything, and you're trying to turn, especially in spaces like this. And I come from, again, the music side. Everybody is trying to survive.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, you are a original artist, and you want people to hear your music, mm-hmm. but you've got to play in the cover band to make money.
I love it. I love it. So here's one question, because Lance has been looking at him. He knows I'm going to ask that dying question.
Yeah, you always do.
I always do. Did you record any hip-hop
bands?
And
lots.
Oh, my gosh.
Lots of hip-hop. So I actually went to school for recording and engineering.
Okay.
So a little more backstory here. So when I was the last class to push out the reel-to-reel and bring on the computer age. So when I got out of school and I was looking at opening the store, I wanted to open a recording studio, but I knew that the recording industry was changing. This was when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis left and went to California, and everything was sort of in flux. And so what we did is we found a niche in the music industry for the guitar world, and I was not a guitar player. I was a recording engineer. But we found a space that really nobody had put a whole bunch of this type of gear into a single location. So that's what we did. Actually, it was a funny story. I had a business plan, and we went to the largest guitar show in the world called NAMM, which is in Anaheim, California. And I was going around to these, I had like this whole thing mapped out and how I was going to present, and I had created appointments with these people, and I would walk up to the guitar manufacturer and go, "Hey, would you please read my business plan? I'm very interested in carrying your product. This is how we would like to do it." And it took a little bit, but I quickly realized that all of these people were artists and that they just made guitars. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you want to buy my guitars?
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Yeah.
How many would you like? Oh, I would like three, please. Okay.
Right.
And so it was more like being in an art gallery and going in and saying, "Hey, I'd like to buy three of your paintings." And the artist going, "Yeah, that would be amazing. Could you please buy three? That would be
great. Let me know when you would like more."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they did appreciate it, but it was, it was a little bit, it was eye-opening and very, very interesting. And there was some of the larger companies that we did bring on that did become important, and they did appreciate. But in that situation, I was also one of the only people in a dress shirt and a coat. I have dressed like this since my early 20s.
Yeah.
Just being in that environment, this environment really reminds me of what that was like. So, and I did that business with no money and all the money and no money. So it's something that is near and dear to my heart. And I want everybody to be successful, just like I wanted every single musician, every single kid that came through the program. At one point, we were doing 500 lessons a week. And I saw these kids from some of them from the time they were 8 years old to 20 years on.
Yeah.
28. There are still guys out there that are still playing because they came and took guitar lessons.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's what I want to see for this industry. I want to see people that are taking their passion and turning it into something where they can at least make a living doing it.
Yeah.
And if your aspirations are to be the world's biggest brand, that's great. But if your aspirations are just to do something that you love and make a living, we want to be a part of that.
Right.
As well as turn you into a global juggernaut brand as well.
So
that's what we're really trying to do. We're really trying to start you at the ground floor and then hopefully work with you all the way through.
Yeah.
Do you think that some people come into the cannabis industry with unrealistic expectations and you sometimes have to kind of bring them back to reality?
I don't. I think everybody goes into their ideal situation with hopes and dreams. What I believe people learn is that sometimes passions, you don't really want to turn them into jobs.
Right.
And the best example I can give of that is there was an episode of a television show called Moonshiners.
Okay.
And one of the guys, and these are people that go out into the woods and make moonshine. One of them had probably enough followers, social media followers, and had been on the show for a long time. Was like, "You know what? I'm going to turn this into a real business." And once he did that and, got a giant space and all of the stuff, I remember a line where he's like, "This is a job. This is work. This is not what it was when I was going out into the woods. This is now I'm managing people. I'm trying to figure out spreadsheets. I'm trying to do all of these business things." And it can lose passion. for what you're doing. So a little bit of a long answer there, but that's what I see more than anything else. I see people getting into this and then realizing that it's not what they think it was going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think people walk into a dispensary or they see a product, gummies or a drink, and they think, I can do that too. I have an idea. Until they actually start to realize not only how much work it is, but how much it costs. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people also don't realize that it takes more work to be your own business owner than going to a job and clocking in. And so you have to you got to have a special personality to decide, I'm going to work twice as hard every day than going to this job. But at the same time, I've been in private practice 22 years, and I have found it very difficult to work for other people because I went to one firm in my life and I hated it. I was there for 6 months because I felt like when I would write something or have a certain argument that my supervising attorney was changing who I was by constantly correcting what I'm saying or changing my arguments. So I didn't feel like I could grow into who I needed to be as a lawyer and as a person with my own morals and values and beliefs. So I can see how someone could go into, you know, cannabis business and say, I can do this. And then their dreams are kind of shut down really fast.
Well, they shot their dreams down themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when you do come in and you have all that passion, that's amazing. But you do have to kind of understand like what's going to happen. Right?
Yeah. And you know, another guest, you know, we need to have, because what I've done with my organizations, I got these group of people together mm-hmm. who have helped me along the way so they can help other people. And my broker, right along the time I met Corey, he said, okay, what kind of space are we looking for a dispensary? And I said, have you been to Planet 13 in Vegas? And he said, well, actually I haven't. And I, you know, pulled up a picture and showed it to him, and he said, huh, that's interesting. He's like, okay. I said, you know, I want this warehouse. Look, I want to gut it. You know, I had this huge vision. And then he said, you know, I happen to be going to a conference in Vegas in a couple of weeks. I'm going to go there. So he went there. He comes back. And he says, Clangela, let's sit down and talk. He said, it ain't going to happen for you.
Ain't going to happen for you. Is this where the expense part comes in? Because, I mean, as far as retail spaces go, you got that whole, you're like, ooh, I can afford this. It's $2,000 a month. And I'm sure that's probably on the cheap side of some spaces. But it's $2,000 a month. But to make it look the way that you want it to make, you need to like double or triple that, because that's what your construction cost is to get it to there.
Yeah. But that goes back to, you know, going in a place and saying, I can do that.
Yeah.
And especially thinking, well, you know, this is Vegas. I'm sure the property is very expensive. But in Minnesota, it can't be that expensive. Mm. But he's like, he said, maybe you'll get there in 10 or 15 years after you start selling, you know, the green and get a license. He said, but right now, he said, you can't invest in something like that and wait for, you know, to have this and have that. And, you know, I kind of felt the wind being taken out of my sails. But I said, you know what? He is right. Mm-hmm. He's right. And, you know, I can see that's kind of what Corey will say, you know, hey, that's not going to happen for you.
Right.
But you need that.
Yeah. Well, this is the entrepreneurial roller coaster.
Yes.
I mean, it's highs and lows every single day.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if you're not ready for it.
If you're not ready for it, if you like stable and easy.
This ain't for you.
Entrepreneurship is probably not the road.
Yeah. Yes.
But you can partner with somebody that can handle those sort of things. There are ancillary businesses. You know, I try to liken everything to music because that's my background.
Sure.
But you can be a sound engineer. You don't have to be on the stage.
It's right. Okay.
And actually, I loved being a sound engineer because I didn't have to be on stage. I got to show up when the thing started And then I got to leave at the end of the night. My bandmates or people that I was with had to stay until 3 or 4 in the morning to get paid.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I was home by 2.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sounds lovely.
No gear to pack out.
Right.
Yeah.
I just walked.
And you know, the other thing about being a business owner, if you are starting out as a sound engineer and, you know, your aspiration is to do more or own something else, you know, you might have to take a little part-time job to pay the bills. And absolutely. I see so many people who they want their own business, they want to be self-employed, but they don't want to put in the work to grow the business. And sometimes the work is you got to get a side gig to pay the bills, you know, so that you're not.
Or hit more doors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It depends on what part of the business it is too, right? So you look at.
But guess what? XL Energy and CenterPoint Energy don't want to hear that shit about knocking doors.
That's true.
They want their money.
When it's time to pay the bill, you're saying you got to be able to pay the bill. And if you got to get a part-time job in order to get it done and still keep your dream alive, then do it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. And I just know so many people who, if they start their own business and it's not growing, especially the first year, you're not really going to make any money the first year.
No.
But
you're
a lot of people,
spend a lot of money in the first year. You're not going to make a bunch.
A lot of people don't realize you're really not going to make any money the first year. Mm-hmm. You're trying to grow your business. You're putting money back into the business, whether it's marketing, whether it's a part-time employee. And the whole concept of having a part-time job, they're like, what? No, I'm doing this. So they have tunnel vision about their business, when I think being self-employed, you have to be very open-minded about, yes, I'm growing this business, but how am I still going to maintain my home, my living? And you know, maybe you need to give the BMW back.
Right. Maybe you got to sell that car.
Maybe you got to sell that car and get a Dodge.
Right.
Yeah, it's something else that I like to just express to people too, is we are going to have a little first year bump. I think everybody that is able to open a store or a processing facility are going to have pretty good first years. And in my mind, it's years 2, 3, and 4 where you're really going to have to figure out how to run a business.
Yeah, as far as recreational dispensaries.
Yes. Correct. Right. Yes.
For sure.
Because once the prices drop, you've got to figure out, why are people coming to me? Why? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's your local area, and that's great, depending on where that location is, but there's got to be why.
Right.
It's more than convenience. And, you know, again, prices start to drop. If your margins go below a certain percentage, you're just not going to be able to make it.
Right.
So that's something that I try to talk about a lot, because it is, you know, again, we're going to have that first year and it's everybody's going to be gung-ho. And then, you know, especially if you have to hold that license for 3 years.
Yeah.
If you've got to hold that license in year 2, 2.5, all of a sudden you're not making money, you're going to have some issues. And you're going to have to fold the company up. And we could talk a little bit, too, about banking and loans and those sort of things. And a lot of loans are going to come with personal guarantees.
Yeah.
Those personal guarantees usually come in the form of your house.
Right.
Something like that. So knowing that those things are going to be on the line, I, the part-time job is to just have some supplemental income. Another thing that I recently read about retail specifically is have other items in your store. T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You buy for $6, you sell them for $20.
Right.
So have
everybody buy more expensive T-shirts. Nobody wants to wear your crap, right? So, all right. So, sorry.
I've got some awesome T-shirts in my store, and they're selling.
Just a little bit more.
I've got cuss words on my T-shirts in my store.
I bet it.
Yeah.
But are they comfortable T-shirts?
They're very comfortable.
$6 on one shirt.
They're very comfortable. We've got.
You're not getting that out of her. She's like, I'm not telling you.
I'm not telling you. You got to come
buy
one.
I mean, I wouldn't tell me either.
Come buy one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's not even bringing you a t-shirt. You got to go to the store.
I know.
And buy
I can't get her to bring beverage to me either. I bring mine every day.
You do.
I know. So, anyway, sorry. I interrupted there because I just want people to buy a little bit more expensive t-shirts so that when people are wearing their brand, they're really proud that they're wearing that brand because it makes their skin feel good. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just thank about you. That personal guarantee piece. So, I mean, you're putting a lot on the line. You're going to have to, I mean, and, you know, especially during those first years, save everything. I mean, don't if you have so a great have first year, don't go and buy the BMW.
Right.
Put the money away because right. you're going to have lean years. In retail, notoriously, the summer months are awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're hard and, you know, people don't purchase like they do during the winter months, in at least in the state of Minnesota.
Right.
One of the greatest things about the hemp space is that you can ship. Mm-hmm. You can ship all over the country. So that's mm-hmm. super helpful. So knowing and understanding those sort of things, I think, are going to be really, really, really important. Getting with people that have experience, also very important. Get your team.
Yeah.
Gotta have a team.
Gotta have a team.
And you know, the more mentors you can have that have experience in all sorts of different mm-hmm. Faculties of the industry are going to be important. I like to look at things that are outside the cannabis space. If you are a retailer, look at great retailers. All they're doing is selling products.
That's it.
How are those people selling products? What makes people purchase those products? What methods are they using? Look at what seasonal stuff is coming out and follow suit. So there's all sorts of little things that you can be doing and thinking of that come from other industries that will help guide you to more than just, I've got the highest THC content.
Right.
Or, you know, the newest, latest, greatest strain, which is going to be just tough to really be able to market and, you know, have it even be true.
Right. Well, I mean, let's just think about some of the strains. The genetics is going bonkers, right? I think that we should have some lower percentage THC. The people that are winning all of the awards at the competitions and things like that, they're focusing on the minors, yep. minor cannabinoids, and bringing back that full spectrum experience because we've kind of lost it in this high THC race. And us as the enjoyers, the end users, the consumers, us going, well, yeah, I want the highest because it's the highest, but it doesn't mean mm-hmm. that it's the best,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a 15%, 15% THC potency on some flower, and then you've got a good amount of CBG in there. You get some CBD, you know, your minors are hefty.
Yeah.
That is a way better experience for most, right? Yep. I don't want to, like the people that want to chase the high THC, keep chasing.
Right.
But
right.
come back down from Mars for a second.
Right.
And that was just a Tesla joke. But let's come back down and then let's check out something else.
You know? My mom just learned about CBG.
Yes.
And
yes.
It like so she's been taking a gummy at yeah. night for sleep.
Great.
And recently has gotten a full spectrum with some extra CBG in there. She's like, that's the one.
That's
the thing.
To sleep.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of folks become more active with it. And this is in everybody has a different endocannabinoid system.
Yep.
And the way that things work with you is maybe a little bit different than the way that they work with somebody else.
Yep.
But a lot of it works. I think that's the point.
And, you know, we're getting more products with CBC, sure. which helps with inflammation.
It can, yes.
And it's been awesome. Like, we've got more gummies, more drinks with CBC. And people are coming back and they're telling their friends, you know, about CBC and CBG. Because we do have edibles with both, this CBG and CBC. And you know, like you said, it's a better experience.
Right.
You know, it's not just being high. Mm-hmm. Like, it's helping with pain, inflammation. It's helping to relax and, you know, feel good and really be able to function. There was a woman that came into the dispensary just on Tuesday, and she wanted something that she had bought with CBC in it. And she said she suffers from migraines.
Yeah.
And she said it like kind of travels down to her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
She said she didn't feel any of that.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of these too, you know, think about some of the pills that people take, right? And your doctor will say, hey, this is going to take a bit of time, right? In order for you to feel some form of change, right? The effect of whatever this drug is within your system, right? Mm-hmm. Very similar, right? We expect these immediate results, right? This expectation bias that something's going to work as fast as we think something is going to work, right? For you to see reduced inflammation by use of cannabinoids, right? Probably is not a, oh, well, that feels better. It's in a week. It's probably not in a week. It's probably more like that bottle of ibuprofen. You were eating quite a bit more of them, and now you realize you haven't gone to that medicine cabinet mm-hmm. for ibuprofen in a month. And when yeah. that happens, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How, what? I didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. It just happened. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that was probably about a 5 or 6 month process mm-hmm. of the benefit that I get from cannabis in reduced inflammation, however it is that I'm ingesting. It took that long.
I think probably because I'm just going to go ahead and fucking self-diagnose you. I think you probably have a high tolerance.
I don't.
Because for me, it took a day just taking it once.
Well, and I guess even a similar story, my mother, mm-hmm. again, was getting cortisone shots in her hip and her back every 3 months.
Okay.
Then it went down to every 4 months, and then it was every 6 months. And the only reason why she continues to do it is for insurance reasons. It's mm-hmm. like you have to go in mm-hmm. and do it, otherwise you have to start this process over again. So, sure. But it's eliminated that from her life.
Wow. Which
we all would have thought mm-hmm. that would have been going on for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. But absolutely directly, the reason she doesn't do that was right. because of a CBD yeah. and now low-dose THC regimen. Mm-hmm. But it was that full-spectrum CBD initially, mm-hmm. Even before THC was involved. Right. And now the THC piece is literally just for sleep, and she absolutely yeah. loves it. We're seeing a lot of this just through the studies now, or at least what I've been reading, not my personal studies, but what I've been reading is people not having 2 or 3 glasses of wine at night.
Yeah.
It seems to be replacing some of that for people.
Yeah. Right? I can tell you, I don't really drink. I used to drink a glass of wine every night. I don't anymore. You know, I'll have a THC beverage, not every night, but, you know, I definitely take it for sleep. I'll just take 1 5-milligram gummy with some CBN, and I sleep through the night because my insomnia was horrible, and I refuse to take Ambien just because of all the side effects and what I've heard it's happened to people. But I would say half of the customers that come into the dispensary are looking for something to help them sleep.
Yeah. For sure.
The other half, you know, they want an indica or a sativa. They pretty much know what they want, but they're usually people who they don't smoke a lot, and they're looking for other ways to feel better mm-hmm. or to just get some sleep. So mm-hmm.
sleep is important.
Sleep's super important.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
When you get to, I mean, that's the only thing that makes me hungover is not getting enough sleep. It wasn't 6 dirty martinis.
It wasn't that. You know? No way that had anything yeah. to do with it.
And they weren't even small ones. Yeah. We were down at the Monte Carlo and just like, you know, hanging out, having some fun. And then I was like, how many of those did I even have yeah. last night? Yeah. I don't right, remember what day that was.
Sorry. Producer Sam here jumping in, but go ahead.
Is it all right? I wanted to touch on one thing because we didn't, we started down the cost factor. Yes. And I did only speak about the low dose hemp market.
Yes.
And I want to talk about a little bit about the cost of doing business or getting insurance in the adult recreational Great. Space. And the easiest gateway I can say is I was talking about that $3,500 to $6,000 price yeah. point. When we get into adult recreational, add zeros to everything. Mm-hmm. That's Makes sense. The easiest way to do it. Insurance rates are based on a couple of different things, but one of them is sales. And if we look at the low dose space, we are talking about just an average number of, say, $100,000 a year in annual sales. So your insurance rate is going to be based off of that. And in adult rec, hopefully your annual sales are $1 million or $500,000 or $750,000. So the rate is going to change with that. And also, if you think of your risk profile, that also changes. You have more in inventory. You've got more people coming through the door. So it is based on a bunch of different factors. But when you're trying to get out there and calculate your insurance, which we're working on a calculator right now. Right. So for anybody out there that is trying to create a business plan and needs to put that line item in for insurance, we will hopefully have a calculator where we can just plug in 5 or 6 different numbers, and it will give you an idea of what you're looking for an insurance rate, which we were speaking a little bit earlier while we were on our break about where insurance fits in your business plan.
Right.
And it's about the third or fourth most expensive thing you're going to run into.
Yeah.
You've got your rent, you've got your employees, and insurance is going to be right in that, mm-hmm. in that sort of space. And it is going to be required. If you are leasing a space, it's going to be required. If you are, you know, basically in every facet of the business, there's going to be some sort of requirement. I was just reading all of this stuff from the state. There are some requirements from the state. Mm. They're not just going to let you open a business without insurance. So, I mean, that's kind of a broad sort of overview of what you're going to be looking at.
Yeah, and then just call Corey.
Just call. That's all you got to do.
Just call Corey.
Yeah. And honestly, anybody, for those that are listening, I'm not a hard sell person. I want to give you the information so you can make the best choices that you can possibly make. I am here to educate and share. If we do business or not, doesn't matter. We can be friends.
Right.
Love
for it. Corey and I don't do business yet.
Yeah. But we're great friends.
We're great friends.
Yeah. Yes. And I love that. And that's what this is about. This is about trying to, you know, get everybody together, lift an industry up, and create something that's going to be amazing for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we can't do it alone.
No.
You just can't. And I can't be in it for the money or myself or any other sort of idea or concept of what I think the industry should be. Mm-hmm. It's been very interesting watching this industry grow and seeing how some things sort of get fractioned off. And I think of 20 years ago when we were all just holding hands together saying, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we could just legalize cannabis?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be a cool thing?
Right.
Wow, that'd be wild, man.
It would be. Here we are.
And we're here. And now we got to figure out how to stay together.
Correct.
And lift the industry up and make it the best industry that we possibly can so people can just make a good living doing something that they love.
Yeah. Well, if we keep doing this stuff, I think we'll get it done.
I think so, too.
Right?
Yeah.
What did you want, Sam?
I was just going to let you know it's the end of the show, and you guys have done so good.
Thanks, Sam.
You guys, you did it all. You hit the industry stuff. You provide information for the average person out there who might just be curious about this, might just want to sleep better at night. So very well done. Thank you.
We didn't get to say Corey's information, how to contact him.
No, they'll never find it. I mean, the show isn't over. You took your headphones off and packed yourself up like you were This was me.
Where do you have to go?
This was me ending the show.
I am hungry too. Here's the fun thing. Nobody's going to pay attention to those last little bits of the show anyways.
And then we took a little break.
Where is Corey's stuff? And it's going to be in the show notes. That's where they know that it should be. It'll be good. Otherwise, we can have Clark.
Yeah.
You know. Clark, I didn't hear about this change.
Yeah,
but
I know
Clark.
Yeah,
what's up, Clark?
I get that. By the way, my email, C Lake.
Yes, it's Clark.
It's Clark.
Yeah.
Hey, Clark, how's it going?
No. That's the way I responded to you. That's how I got the first email.
And then
I
looked at it. That's why there was this Clark thing going on.
Then I looked at it later and I'm like, that's not Clark. That's just C Lake.
Anyways, it's going to go into the show notes. It's going to be great.
Dot Lake, maybe? I don't know.
We might.
It's all good.
We might. What we'll probably do is we're going to have Clark have like one of those just like boom and drop into the screen and just put Corey Lake.
It's on the bottom. He's on it. Trust me.
Already?
He'll get.
Do you think always, by this moment it's already fixed?
No, because it's all the stuff still in the little cameras. All right, everyone. Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you so much for joining the show. It was another great one. As always, you guys did great.